Hey everybody, it's Megan Jocks with Revelation Wellness Nashville. Thank you for joining me for another podcast. I hope you guys have had a good week. I've been looking forward to this podcast all week, actually the next couple podcasts. God is just doing so many things and working in so many different people's lives that I'm just encouraged and want to share with you guys everything that I just see going on and things he's laying on my heart to share with you. So let's just open up with prayer and then we'll get right into it. Father God, I thank you that you are ever present, God, that you are with us. You are past, present, and future. God, that you are with us, Lord. There is no place that we can go that you are not with us. God, I thank you for reminding each one of us of that today. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that my words would not be my words, Lord, but they would be your words, Lord. I pray that you would just open the hearts of each listener, God, that they would be able to hear and receive fully from you, Lord, that they would know that this has nothing to do with me, God, but all about just following you and following in obedience with what you have for us. God, we love you. We pray our lives would reflect our love for you, God. We can say those words all day long, Lord, but unless our lives start reflecting that love for you, God, then it means nothing. So God, I just pray my life would be an example of a believer who just loves you, God, and that each person listening, Lord, would just surrender more and more to you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about how I wanted to approach this podcast, and there's really just no cool way of leading into this. You know, I realize that there's some things people don't like to talk about, and I totally respect that. But then there are a lot of things that people feel shouldn't be talked about, but I don't see this being incredibly beneficial to the church. The Lord's really leading me in some places of just being completely transparent and honest. And some of you guys know me and my husband personally and our family and stuff, and you know some of the intimate details of the things that we've encountered over the past couple years. But the Lord's just calling us to a new space of transparency, and that has to do with really my listeners here on the podcast as well. And there is no fear in love. So as much as the enemy would love for me not to talk about these things, that I am willing to talk about them, because I see a lot of marriages in the church really suffering, but it's like it's a silent suffering. There are things going on behind closed doors that nobody wants to talk about because they're hard. And we have all this shame that the enemy puts on us, that if we were Christians, or if, you know, we were really who we said we were, then we wouldn't have these struggles, or we wouldn't have these things going on. And I really don't believe that that's the case. I really don't believe it's a matter of necessarily just having a struggle with our Christianity, but really I feel like the church was intended to keep each other accountable. But where there's this lack of transparency, I think that's where we're getting hung up on. And so however the Lord leads and whatever he asked me to talk about, I'm going to talk about those things with you guys, and just some things that have happened in Ryan and I's marriage and how we got through those, because I want to be able to encourage you, not just as an individual, but also as a wife, as a mother, as just a person in a marriage or a relationship, as whoever you are, however I can encourage you, I want to be able to do that. So I'm going to talk to you guys about something that has come against Ryan and I's marriage through the last just couple years here, and that has to do with pornography. And it was something that probably 2 years ago came up in our marriage. It was never a problem before. Ryan never struggled with pornography before the last 2 years, and we had a really, really hard time. Now it's probably been actually like 4 years ago. I lose track of time sometimes, but it's been probably about 4 years ago. But in the last 2 years is when this has popped up, and it really has come from just Ryan having a complete void in his heart and feeling a complete disconnect with the Lord and just that struggle within his relationship. And you know, when we struggle to fill those voids in our heart, we will look and we will grasp at anything to fill that void. And so unfortunately for Ryan, that was one place that he was looking, was pornography. And the Lord, because of some of the gifts he's given me, he would generally tell me when Ryan was looking at pornography, and I would always call him up or call him out on it and just say, hey, have you been struggling? And, you know, it was always really hard. You know, a lot of times Ryan would say, no, I've been good. I haven't had any thoughts, nothing. And he's always really honest. So I can thank him for that. And I really appreciate that. Never had to be paranoid about him lying to me. I always feel like he's been very honest about when he was struggling and when he wasn't. But every time that he would say, yes, I have been, we would have this long conversation about how it hurts me more when I have to find out that way, or how he doesn't just feel comfortable to come to me and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Now, for some of you guys in your marriage, this may not seem like a big deal. Maybe pornography is something that happens in your house consistently, and maybe you don't care about it. Maybe you don't think about it, but this is just not something that we entertain in this family as being okay on any level. And so, but I have a lot of compassion for brokenness because I'm not perfect, and I've done a lot of things in our marriage that have been very less than edifying and have been very destructive. So I have a high level of compassion for struggles. And so, but it's really hard to hear when, like I said, I mentioned several times to Ryan, hey, if you just come to me and you're just honest and say, hey, this is like my struggle and this is what's been going on, I can respect that. But when I have to ask you about it and then you come clean, that's where I have a problem. And so we talked about it several times, but then one of the very last times, I was very hurt because once again, it was God just laying it on my heart to ask, me asking, and then it being met with like a very shameful, yes, I have had a bit of a hard time over the last week or two. And, you know, I'm sorry. It's nothing about you. It has nothing to do with you. Ryan's like, he's at the point in his relationship with God where he can very much say he is desperate for God. But when he doesn't feel like he's being met by God, or he's not hearing back from God, he gets desperate to fill a void. And, I'm thankful that at this point in our marriage that he knows he's desperate for God, but unfortunately he's like reaching out in other ways at times, because that takes a lot of just awareness. And I know it's not a cop out or anything like that, but you know, I was really hurt. I was really hurt. I was angry. We were in a vehicle together and we were driving, you know, a long distance, and I was having a really hard time feeling that compassion towards his brokenness. I was having a really hard time feeling the grace that the Lord so graciously extends to me in my brokenness. I was having a hard time looking at him in a compassionate way, really. I mean, all these emotions just started flooding me at that moment. And in my mind was going crazy, like, he's deceitful, he's this, he's that, and oh my gosh, like, don't look at me, get away from me, all these things in my mind, right? And I know at this moment there's a major battle going on, one that would desire to rip me even further away from Ryan, to pull away from Ryan, to reject him, to do all of these things. But I also know that my Father, my God, my King, who I so constantly get caught up in things, and he never does that. Like, he never rejects me. He never looks at my sin and goes, you're disgusting, get away from me. God never does that to me. So I'm in this conflict, and I feel one way, but I also know that my emotions are not a sound gauge generally. And so I'm listening. I'm trying to listen for the Lord, and I'm trying to just love him through it. And there's all these things going on with me. And I finally just say, can you please pull over? Can you please just pull over? Because also the way I deal with hurt and rejection, which is a lot of times some things that you feel when you find out your spouse is looking at pornography, rejected, which rejection is like a big one for me. Mine starts coming out in passive aggressive sarcasm, and it's not pretty. My tongue can get not pretty. So I knew as these things were wanting to slide out of my mouth, and I was having a harder and harder time the longer we were in that car holding them back, I said, can you please just pull over? I have got to get out of this car, and I've got to just go talk to the Lord, and I have to just go process. So I got out of the car, and two, I didn't want to make a scene in front of my children or anything like that. So I got out of the car, went, and I just sat down, and I just processed out loud. I just talked to the Lord out loud, and I just named everything I was feeling. I said, God, search my heart. Show me everything I'm feeling, because I know I'm really hurt, but I myself can't even identify why I'm so hurt. And so things started coming up and I just started naming them out loud. I'm disgusted. I'm angry. I feel betrayed. I feel unworthy myself. Like there could be something wrong with me. All these things, right? And I cried and I felt all those things. And then I just said, okay, God, so now what? Now what do I do? And I laid all those things down and I just said, I'm going to give those to you because you know how I'm feeling. I'm going to give those to you. And now I want you to tell me what I need to do. And in that moment, the Lord just flooded me with so much compassion to see Ryan through his eyes, to see his brokenness, to see his hurting, to see his hopelessness, to see all those things that causes people to reach out in addictions or whatever way we're trying to cope with our brokenness and our hurt and our past pains and our whatever it is. Then I could receive the compassion that God had for me when I sat down the things that I was feeling. So I learned a lot through that process, and that's why I really wanted to share this story with you guys. I got back in the car, I looked at Ryan, and I said, I forgive you. And not only do I forgive you, but I will never bring this up again. I refuse to be paranoid about what you're doing on your phone. I refuse to think of you as less as a person. I refuse to let any idea that I am less than come against me. I refuse to do any of that. I will continue to hold you accountable. I will continue to encourage you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. I can encourage you and build you up, but that will not be through destroying you or holding your sin against you. But I will, through the eyes of God, through the compassion that I can now see, through you're hurting so bad that this is where you're going, then that's where I'm at. And I forgive you. I don't hold this against you. And I love you. And when I refuse to entertain anything less than how God sees him, that does stuff in people. In that instant, Ryan started opening up, started talking about just kind of where his heart's at and where his heart is for God. And, you know, he was overwhelmed with just emotion. And, you know, if I would have just got in that car and I just would have been like, you're a jerk, you're this, you're that, I can't believe you, blah, 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 you're disgusting. That would have done nothing for his heart. Because out of our brokenness, like our heart is hurting and it doesn't make it right by any means. I'm not saying that. It does hurt. It hurts when others' sin or brokenness comes against us. But also if we can stop for a minute and we can feel everything we're feeling and then we can lay it down and then we can ask God to intercede, then we start seeing real changes happen within our marriage, within ourselves, within the relationships around us. But it never happens when we're fighting and they're fighting and we're rejected and they're rejected and it's just all of this mess. It's a vicious, destructive cycle. So if you're going through something and it feels like time and time again, and I know that day I thought, here we are again, and I'm saying the same things I said last time, and I'm telling him the same things I said last time, and it's probably not going to change, and now I'm double pissed that we're going through this again, and I couldn't lay a better banquet table of saying, you're free to come with your junk, I've come with my junk, and that's, you've loved me through it. I am dedicated to loving you through your brokenness. And here we are. And still, he didn't take me up on my invitation to not judge him or anything. So for that particular time, feeling that brokenness, like I said, for you, you might feel that same thing. Like you're going through time and time again with your spouse, or maybe it's in a different relationship, but you resonate with the offense. Like you resonate with being offended over and over and over. And the offense is real. Like, can we be serious? Like that's real. It feels like it's against us. But the truth is, it's not against us. It's against themselves. Because the thing is, no matter what it is, if it's pornography, overeating, undereating, if it's drugs, if it's alcohol, the offense is not against you. It's against themselves. And that's a high level of brokenness, friends. That's a high level of brokenness. We take it like it's against us, but really that brokenness is against themselves. So if you're doing this, this is what I suggest. Take some time when that offense happens and you have a high level of emotion, remove yourself from the situation. Take some time to go and process with the Lord out loud. Go and ask Him to search your heart. Here's the thing. I can name all the things that I think, like, that's why I'm hurting, but God knows the depths of my heart. He knows things that I don't remember, why I feel this level of betrayal. He can search my heart and He can go, remember when you were little and this thing happened and like that was a deep level betrayal? You're feeling that very thing right now. Let me do some healing to it. So take some time to really say, God, I'm feeling so hurt. Name all the things you feel and then say, God, search me if there's more. If there's more, take time to journal. Write these things down. Say them out loud. I feel betrayed because, I feel angry because, I feel whatever. Take the time to feel those things. You need to be heard. Here's the thing. If you don't take time to name what you're feeling and actually feel those things, I guarantee you they're going to keep coming out one way or the other. It's going to come out in your attitude. It's going to come out in how you treat people. It's going to come out, period. You don't get away with just sweeping your feelings under the rug. That is a lie that we've all been sold, and a lot of us have taken it that we can just shove things down. But the truth is, you really don't, because they come out one way or the other. So do yourself a favor, do those around you a favor, and take time to feel what you feel about the offense or whatever happened. But do that with the Lord, okay? So then feel all those things, and then I'm a kind of like a visual person. So I visualize taking all those emotions and being willing to lay them down at the feet of God, to be able to lay those down. Because here's the thing, I want more of Him and less of me. I have a right to feel the things I feel, but then I lay them down at the foot of the cross because I've given my life to Christ. I am no longer my own. So I don't get to choose how I react in this situation anymore. I have released Him to make the decisions for me. So I feel what I feel, and then I lay them down at the foot of the cross and I say, okay, God, now what? Now what do we do? Now how do I handle this situation? Show me what to do. Then you take time to receive from the Lord how you handle the situation. Because I can't give you a cookie cutter, now go and do what I did. That may not be what the Lord has for you. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your details, but God does. So sit down with Him. Take a minute. Trust me, friends, this is going to yield you a lot more benefit than you just flying off the handle and handling it however you think you want to handle it and however you think is going to be best. Sit before the Lord and wait on Him to receive how to move forward in this process. If you don't have peace, then sit a little longer until you have some peace. When I re-entered that car, I had peace. And I really was at a place of, this is how this will move forward. And I will not let the enemy steal from my marriage any longer through my reaction. I can either partner with the enemy in this whole scenario, or I can partner with the Lord. You have the same choice. So anyway, sit with the Lord, receive from Him, and then walk out in obedience. Trust Him. Trust Him with the outcome. I can honestly say that we have been stronger from this encounter. Whenever this happened, Ryan's been doing really well. He's been pressing into God, and like, it's just such a thermometer. Like, you know what your own thing is, and maybe, like I said, pornography is one thing, but maybe it's overeating. Maybe it's restricting. Maybe it's what, however you cope with lack of intimacy with the Lord. Listen, let's not judge. Let's not point fingers and say, oh, that's gross. That's worse than my thing. It's all from an even playing field, friends. We've all got our junk. But what's so awesome is that God gives us a different way. And it doesn't have to be like this. But in marriages, we have to be willing to look at one another's darkness and the things that we run to, and not whip each other across the back for being broken, but rather going before the Lord, asking Him how to proceed, and then looking at our spouse with compassion and understanding, and then learning how to encourage them into the Lord. I hope this helps some of you. Really, that's just my heart. And I want to help you through these things, especially, if you're a wife and you're facing this thing, Whoever you are, if you just need some help with this, feel free to email me. Again, I'll put my email in the comments below. But I love you guys, and where our marriages are meant to thrive. And that doesn't mean we're not going to come against some major offenses, but it's how we handle those offenses that really determines the pathway of our marriages. So I love you guys. Encourage you in the Lord. I bless you. Bless your spirit this week. Just believe for great things in the kingdom for you. All right. Love you. Bye.